Greetings and salutations to all members of mankind. Welcome to the Jimson and Roscoe Christmas Idiotic Show. I think that's what I'm calling it this year.
Sweet.
Sick.
Why have I done this?
I don't know.
I'll tell you why. Because for the last 6 months, you guys have been doing your podcasting.
Mm.
And I featured on one of them. The question that I got from a lot of people were like, who the fuck are those two? So I thought we'd have this special and let them know a little bit more about you two.
Okay.
Where you've come from.
Mm.
You've got Tom and Jerry. You've got Laurel and Hardy. And you've got Jimson and Roscoe.
Do you?
Mm.
Where did all this start? Now, one thing I do know.
Can we have a toast first?
Yep, we will have a toast.
This is just Ribena. Cheers.
Cheers.
Yes, Ben.
Blood of Christ.
Ben.
It is Christmas.
Yeah, come on.
So where did all this start?
What?
Years ago.
How far back are you going?
Yeah. To the very, very beginning. Where it all began.
East Twerton?
Yeah, it's East Twerton, infant school. Yeah.
Twerton. What part of Bath's that? South Bath?
Lurbristol Road.
East Twerton is on Lurbristol Road, the one opposite...
The old printing place.
Behind where the old Bath print is.
Near the old sex shop?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a landmark.
Of course. Of course it was.
Excuse the pun, Mark.
Yeah.
But yeah, there, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I have got a photo somewhere of, I think it's like my fucking...
I think I've seen it.
Birthday or something. Of a sort of dry slope, ski slope.
Yeah, with Lee.
Like Churchill.
Yeah, I remember
that. No, I've seen another one of you two.
Oh, yeah, we've got reindeers. That was infant school.
Very fresh-faced.
Yeah.
Okay, what schools did we... Well, we
all of them.
Talk about what schools we went to, but...
We went to all of them, all the same schools.
All the same schools.
East Twerton, South Twerton.
Beach and Cliff. All of them.
Yeah.
How did it all start, then? Now, when I say how did it all start, the musical scene. First of all, influences.
Influences. Mm. So for me, my earliest influence of music was a lot of power ballads. So my mum listened to a lot of power ballads.
When you say power ballads, what do you mean? Is there something like, could you sing me a one line?
I want to know what love is.
Power ballad.
Yeah.
Them one there.
Them long one. Hair, spandex and fucking levers and fucking the bands he's wearing and shit.
Mm.
So my mum used to listen to a lot of power ballads.
Would your mum be Rachel?
Yes.
Hmm. Interesting. We have some words from Rachel a little bit later.
Cool.
Nice.
Anyway, carry on.
So yeah, power ballads.
Don't want to get you thinking or anything like that.
And then from then, I'd say my hip-hop influences started about 10. So there was a bully lived nearby, and he was listening to Tupac All Eyes on Me one day. And he had a double cassette, and he was like shouting, but like I was fucking mesmerised by the fucking sound. And from then, I just started going through the back catalogues, all the Tupac stuff. So started with Tupac Clips Now, and then just fucking went through.
At that time, you two were bredgins, yeah?
What, Tupac days?
Yeah.
So this would have been...
So when he found Tupac, he found you and you found Tupac?
We weren't in the same class.
Class, one in the remedial.
No, I don't know.
Because it was just two classes. This is before they had
them ones.
The groups. This is like still junior school.
Oh, right. Cool.
Yeah.
So this is like, you just had two classes in our year.
It's just separate, wasn't it?
Yeah. And then, senior school probably, wasn't it?
Yeah, senior school.
But yeah, like, so this would have probably been like, what, year five, year six that I found like Tupac and then started just going to HMV. Mm. Randomly fucking picking up covers and going, yeah, that looks all right.
When was the day you said, I could do that?
So, my mate Wayner, he had Hip Hop EJ. And he used to go around to his house and he had a fucking CD burner. Before CD burners were fucking, he had a big nice house at the top of Entry Hill. He used to go there and he used to fucking get him to burn CDs and that. And he had Hip Hop EJ. And what it was, just to drag and drop the sample blocks onto the screen. And from there I started writing raps and they were fucking shit.
But they always are, innit, when you start.
Well, you're basically mimicking fucking what West Coast gangster rap is, like, I'm not a fucking West Coast gangster rapper.
No.
Not a gangster. Not from America, do you know what I mean? But it's like...
You're from the West Country.
That's the only thing we had as influence, innit? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, at them times. But I suppose it's like, to start anything, you mimic... Like you are as a fucking baby, innit? You mimic your fucking everything you see around
you. Everything you see around you.
And then you, until you can grow into it and fucking start, okay, let's dabble with that, until you finally find your own sort of feet. But,
So, did you do it individually? Or were you like a team back then?
No.
Not until what?
I did it like, I got into it early, man, because I was playing piano. No, I was playing
keyboard.
What?
Piano!
Yeah, I was playing...
Sweet keys, dude!
Yeah, man.
Yeah!
So I was playing keyboard from 4. My mum had me on it from 4. And then I started playing piano properly at, like, 8. Started doing concerts and competitions and that. From early. All the way through senior school. And then I think when I got to year 11, I was like, I just want to make beats now. But... The hip-hop thing, for me, was my next-door neighbour got me into it when I was young.
Same sort of way?
Yeah. It was West Coast,
East Coast stuff?
It was Wu-Tang. The first shit I heard was Wu-Tang, I think. And then it was, like, Tribe Called Quest. And then it was the
you
Tupac
were very
and the
into
Nate
that
Dogg.
Skateboarder hip-hop,
Yeah.
Like, backpack-type hip-hop, I would say.
What's the difference? What's the difference?
He was into, like, conscious hip-hop. Long into conscious hip-hop, basically.
Like, so, Common... Yeah. Q-Tip, so
like who are like
Mos
dropping,
Def.
Like, well, not that fucking Tupac wasn't dropping knowledge, but he was like a lot more revolutionary. The whole like, and DMX was like fucking very like raw and fucking unapologetic, fucking like, it was hardcore. But like, so conscious stuff would be a lot more like Mos Def, like Talib Kweli, do you know what I mean? Talking...
Bit of the harder stuff.
No, well, chill, conscious, knowledge. Do you know what I mean?
That came later for me, a lot later.
So, all right. So, individually, you were both doing your own thing. Now, one thing I do know is there was a young crew called YMP.
Yeah.
When did that materialise?
So we would make a step before YMP, wouldn't we?
Do you know what, right? That all I can remember, my earliest memories of making music was on a tape. I had two tapes.
With Austin?
Yeah, in the house. So we'd play music for a Ghetto Blaster.
Yeah.
And then my dad had this like mad like Ghetto Blaster from the fucking 80s. And you could record through this like built-in mic in the thing.
Yeah.
So we would play the tune and then spit through that onto tape.
Right, okay.
So, like, me and him were making music for fucking ages, like, do you know what I mean? And we were using hip-hop EJ and shit as well. And then, obviously, you had the little pen stick mics? Then we'd have mics, and we'd be like, nah, the sound quality is shit. So we'd end up wrapping things around it, socks, spitting across it like this, so you don't get the pop and all the pops and that. And then I can remember I wrote a diss to Jimson. And then I was like, nah... Did you hear it?
No, never heard it.
I can remember I wrote it and I was like, nah, it's too hard. I can't let anyone hear this. And I was like, fuck this, I'm going to start making music with Jimson. And then...
Have you still got it?
No. Oh. I haven't got any of that music. I wish I did. He's got some of this shit.
If anyone's got it, Skippy.
Yeah, he's got Skippy. Some shit. Yeah.
Is that Skipton?
Yeah.
If anyone's got
we'll
it,
we'll be hearing from him later as well.
Cool.
Rachel and Skipton.
Yeah, man.
Jokes.
But yeah, no, that was like we started making music before YMP.
Yeah, but was that a Flashes then?
No,
at number
so I
three
was,
or
I was. We K.O. Rico was the first one. We were
yeah, I
together.
Remember actually.
So, yeah, with K.O. Rico.
Who's K.O. Rico?
So that mate, that would have been if that was then, and that was the first time we made music together. That would have been 18.
Okay. You guys would have been 18 years
been,
of age.
Yeah, I was in sixth form at Haysfield.
So at this time, YMP wasn't around?
No. It would have been just after that, I think.
Yeah, because it was like 2006.
Yeah, 2006.
Yeah.
The beginning, the takeover.
Yeah.
So prior to that, I met Lodos and that through Flash. but this is before YMP.
Mm. Right.
Also, Easy Flip was recording down there. Leon.
Lodos. Let's plug. What's his?
8 Sense Media.
Doing
fucking very well.
Black Wave.
Yeah.
Black Wave, and they've just dropped Pitney.
HBO fucking nominated as well.
Nominated. Mike?
He was supposed to come.
Big up, Mike.
The other week, but he had to go to a shoot, so he will be on here.
Next year,
yeah, soon.
Get him on, good lad.
Because he's always got a lot to say, man. He's fucking.
He's done a lot as well. To be fair,
it'd be interesting to talk to.
Yeah,
and I, to be honest, I never ever thought he would drop MCing.
Neither did I.
And obviously, it's for what he's doing.
Yeah, because
he was sick.
Yeah, he was cold. Man.
See, again, he was someone who was way ahead, coming with like knowledgeable fucking social. Commentary.
Yeah.
So Lodos would have been a big influence on me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even though like I class this as like being in the same crew and shit, like I don't know, you all influence each other, innit?
Yeah. YMP, how many we're gonna get to the YMP days.
Yeah.
How many of you were in it? Not who hung around, who were the mainstays?
There's quite a lot of us, man.
Lodos.
Yeah.
Me, Roscoe, Smiley,
Tommy D.
Nemi, Tommy D.
Wesley.
Smiley is Midnight.
Yeah.
Midnight now, yeah.
Stan.
Stan, Switch.
Switch.
And Lady Hype.
Yeah.
Who's Lady Hype?
Shireen.
Campbell.
But that was like, but the main ones would have been, I would have said Lodo.
Oh, yeah,
Lodo,
yeah, so yeah.
Wesley, right?
Yeah.
For the start?
Yeah.
Wes?
Yeah.
I think so. Or maybe Stan as well. Nemi. I don't know. And Nemi, yeah. And Smiley. Smiley was around from, I'm a lawbreaker, I'm a jawbreaker.
And he's still doing bits now?
Yeah. He records all the time.
Midnight Cachet on Instagram. Follow that dude. Yeah, he's still doing bits now.
But yeah, there was 2 mixtapes, wasn't there? At the beginning and the takeover.
Yeah. And we were big on Bebo. I remember we had on Bebo, right? We had more follow. Right, I'm almost 100% sure on this is a fact, right? We had more followers and views on our page at that time than Boy Better Know. I swear to God.
Serious?
I don't know whether we paid for views. I don't know. I don't know whether there was some trickery, but I remember 100% that we had more views and like engagement than Boy Better Know, which is funny.
I received a message the other day from someone asking me if I had the takeover.
Is it?
Mm. Have you still got this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone was asking for the takeover.
Is it?
Yeah. What's his face? Mikey Rodons.
Oh, is it?
He says he's been looking for it for ages. He's asked Lodos, but he can't get hold of it. But he wants a copy of it.
Come on, people still want that.
But yeah, that like
the YMP days were funny, man.
Even then, like listening to myself back then, like fucking, even then it was still like.
Yeah, I've got a few pictures of you back then, actually.
But it's the sound, the vocal sound.
No, but when you see the pictures, you understand the sound.
Yeah. And it's progression, yeah.
It is progression.
Like, you can see your progression that way, man.
Yeah, it's like we had the Inglourious Poet on the other week, and he was saying the same. So I think everyone says, isn't it? When you start, you just fucking...
Well, you're young, fresh, and you're green, aren't you? Mm. That's what they say. You're young, fresh, and you're green, and then you grow into and mould into whatever you're doing.
But you know what? There was something interesting what Kano said in an interview. And he said the difference was we had the internet, but it wasn't as prominent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You had like Bieber, you had that, but like now it's like Instagram story, boom, it's out there.
It's out there.
Do you mean like... on the minute, up to the minute, all the time.
Yeah, man.
You put something out, the internet's unforgiving. You put something out, which is a bit like, it's like fucking Doreen. It's like, but even then, like, it could be something that you were like, fuck, I wish I didn't put that out. Do you know what I mean?
But as soon as you put it out, it's gone.
Or like, you fuck up or whatever. And it's like, where like, there was a lot of times where we had a lot of practice hours and stuff, like, where it's not on the internet because there was no live.
Do you think nowadays, like, the young people, because of the internet, do you think these young people are quick to throw their stuff on the internet before they're actually honing their skills?
It's easier for them to do it, I think.
Yes and no. They'll either do that I think you're falling.
There's apart. A lot of corner cutting.
Yeah.
Because
like,
of the internet.
Because the trouble is now, it's like to keep up with consumption, everyone wants to get it out.
Out.
But there's also two sides to it. It's either you either procrastinate and never put it out.
Mm.
And then it's just, you just sit on a collection of stuff. It's like, oh, yeah, when I'm ready. And before you know it, it's like fucking 10 years have passed. It's like, fuck, I should have put that out then because that would have been good then, but it's not right for me to put that out now type thing.
Mm.
Or they just put it out and it's like, oh, I shouldn't put that out. But I don't know. Maybe whether I don't, I do you know what? I don't know what I think's better, whether it's...
It's all part and parcel, isn't it?
but yeah, they've got the fucking option for it. It's like the tools there are fucking powerful. But... everyone's got access to it.
Yeah.
So to shine through, you just need to fucking...
need to be different, I think.
Mm. Different and persistent.
Persistent.
Doing fucking hard work. That's the thing what everyone says. It's like, don't... what's the saying that they say? Don't complain about the results you didn't get for the work you didn't do.
That's true.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, if you haven't put the fucking work in, then don't fucking moan that fucking... definitely. You're not going to get the results or what you want.
So two mixtapes out of YMP.
Mm-hmm.
How long were YMP on the scene for? Going over there?
Yeah, try to keep the foil over it, man.
We parted ways and did Country Cartel, didn't we?
Yeah, it started to get a bit beefy, didn't it?
It got real beefy, and I was like...
no, whoa!
It got beefy.
got beefy, did it?
And we're vegans.
And it got all beefy.
It got a bit beefy, like.
Okay, all right. Well, we won't go down that route. Nobody likes talking about that. But that's a good introduction into Country Cartel.
Yeah. So Country Cartel was.
Fuck it.
Well, it started with just me and Roscoe.
Yeah.
And then Dane.
Why the name, first of all?
Because it was like West Country fucking...
well, Tommy D would say something else.
Yeah.
Tommy and the whole cartel word. Tommy, around then, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Crew, click. What do you mean? It's like,
and we changed it to a K, cartel, like Corrupt FM.
You
know what I mean?
Eh?
And we changed it to a K, like Corrupt FM. Yeah. They copied us, didn't it? So.
Yeah, I must admit, Country Cartel, it was like, there's too many K's, man.
If they
got one more, dude, I'm not befriending them. It was one of them.
That was one of the bars, wasn't it? On the KK party.
KK party. Not the KKK.
Yeah. It's the KK party, not the KKK.
By the way, I was with Daniel the other day.
Who's Daniel?
Hibbs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, is it?
Well, he was actually talking about embarrassing moments.
Okay.
And it involved you two.
Yeah. Oh, which one?
There was a festival.
The Eminem one.
No, but I do know something about that.
Oh, there was a festival. All right, cool.
Alice Park Festival.
Oh, yeah.
Lovely festival. Family. Kids. And then there was a lyric that you lot chose to do. I don't know if you'd like to... remind us.
I can't remember it, man.
Right, well, I can remember.
All of our lyrics were bad back in the day.
Excuse me, and I got us cancelled. My mum's not watching it. It was Rape at the Party.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah.
Just didn't really go down well.
No, of course not.
There was mums and kids at the front.
Yeah.
Partying.
Obviously, we're grown now, and we realised that that was a bit distasteful for the time. But, like comedians, yeah, it's... you can concentrate on the title of the joke.
Yeah.
Or you can concentrate on the overall message, which was me and Jimson saved and found out. Actually, I don't even know. I don't even know what to say, bro.
That was like 2011, right?
Yeah, that was Eminem times.
Was that before Eminem?
Nah, that was like...
what was after Tyler, the times.
Sort of like...
so we're just pushing things to see what we could get away with,
I guess. Boundaries, yeah. Seeing what you could fucking...
and it was all creative. It wasn't like we were saying that we were going around doing those things. We were...
do you think...
detectives.
Do you think... detectives?
Yeah.
Do you think going to an Eminem concert, leaving the hotel and leaving the towel on the light... I've been talking to Skippy.
What happened?
Percy, remember Percy, bruv? The black guy, remember we went to sleep? So, right.
Blaming someone else
right,
now.
Right. No, no, yeah,
that's not the way
I
Skipton
did.
Told me.
So basically, this is what happened, right? We all went to Dublin to go watch Eminem. Me, Jimson, Skippy, and Hibbs. So we all go, and the first night we stay in the hostel, there's a girl in the bed. right? Ooh. And we're like, she's just on her own in top bunk and we're all fucked up, like, coming back from wherever. And she's in there and we're like, oh, fucking hell, that's a bit weird. So she, like, rolls over, goes to sleep. When Skippy woke up in the morning, he goes, mate, look over there now. And there was a black dude just led there, smiling, staring at us. And I think his name was Percy or some shit. Anyway, the day we leave to go to see Eminem, I was like, oh, my towel's wet. I'll throw it on top of the light. So I threw it on top of the light. We went out all day.
Schoolboy era.
Came back. Can you not remember? The whole fucking light thing, the whole thing had melted and it was on fire.
Nah, I
and Percy's asleep in bed and we didn't know whether he was dead.
Nah, I can't remember that.
Anyway, hopefully Percy's not dead. If so, rest in peace, Percy. But yeah, we ran out. Can you not remember? We ran out of the hostel and didn't say nothing, blamed it on Percy.
Nah.
Yeah, well, that's what happened. Mate, you must have been fucked up off those ghosties, bro. Those ghosties,
mate,
actually,
no, I
fucked.
Can't remember. I have no knowledge of that.
Another mate of yours is Dino.
Fucking hell. Yeah. I haven't seen Dino for a while, man.
Big up Dino Perkins.
Yeah, mad duckling.
Loves cooking yard food. Respect Dino. Dino, yeah. Loves it.
Yeah.
He said to me that one day, and I have to read it. Oh, it involves you.
It probably.
All these mad ones, me and Roscoe chasing seagulls around Bog Island at about 7 on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, I remember that.
Anything else you can...
What, from that night?
Was there an involvement of maybe elements of drink or...
Yeah, allegedly.
was you there that... I remember he rocked up to Brendan's house for a morning with fucking paint in his hands, off his nut.
Ew.
Oh, no. Yeah. This would be mad shit.
He was fucked. And he's like, you know, this is about fucking 6 in the morning. Look down the window, he's fucking out there. He's got these fucking buckets of paint. What the fuck are you doing out, you silly twat? Yeah, yeah. So fucking, he's like, oh, let me in. He comes in. Yeah, mate, madness.
Yeah, me and him kidnapped, what's that kid's name? Oh, I can't remember his name now.
Kidnapped.
Yeah, me and him kidnapped this kid and threw him in the back of my mum's car at like 4 in the morning.
A criminal act.
And took him back to my sister's house. What's his name? You know him as well.
No, and don't walk with him.
Nothing.
And don't walk with him. Leave him alone.
I don't know.
Put your hands away.
Oh, what's his name? Kane. You know Kane Robinson?
Kane.
Yeah, Kane. Yeah, we kidnapped him. Big up Kane.
Kane.
Yeah, we kidnapped him, threw him in the back of my mum's car. I don't know why my mum. I don't know why my mum got involved. And then we went back and Dino's being Dino. And I'm like, yo, you need to hold it down. My mum's like sat there, rolling around on the sofa, beating up Kane.
He's got, what's it called, ain't he? Fucking Hank syndrome. Is it Hank syndrome? You know, like off of fucking Me, Myself and Irene.
Oh, right.
Like, as soon as a bit of alcohol...
Dino, yeah.
He's just like, has this switch for like, fuck it, only goes like fucking Jim Carrey in the mask.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
0 to 100, real quick.
I've got another story. It involves you, Jims.
Yeah, man.
Now, I don't want to reveal what you do for a living, but one night you and Skipton were out. It always goes wrong with him. So this is what he said to me. I don't think I can do his accent, but I'll try.
Go on.
No, I'm not. So, me and Jimson got fucking twisted one night. Driving back and forth to get things. What would that be? What would that be?
I remember...
No, I'm telling a story, mate. Just, what does the get things mean?
I don't know. What were they doing?
The 1234 remembers he's got work. 1234 will represent a swear word that I will not use. So let's start again. Driving back and forth to get things. The 1234 remembers he's got work. When he worked on the doors. Okay? Mm-hmm. You remember that?
Yeah.
He couldn't get anyone to cover his shift at 6 a.m. He was fucking ringing everyone. So he gets changed and drives over himself and he's fucking spangled. Some old couple come up to him and asked him a question. He gave an answer. The old lady turned round and said, "You're talking absolute gibberish." And then Skipton said, "He was a mess, mind." And then he says, "It's actually funnier when Jimson says it."
Yeah.
Do you remember that night?
Yeah, I do. "You're talking absolute gibberish."
There's another fucking classic, yeah? I wasn't there, but I heard all about it. Jimson was at a wedding at Limpley Stoke Hotel. He had a room. There was some artwork on the wall that he decided he wanted to steal, as he knew an art dealer. He kept asking everyone if they had scissors.
No, that was Brendan.
Doesn't say Brendan on my text.
Brendan was the one asking for scissors.
And then I have a text. So let's see what the text says. Was it Jimson at Millie's wedding who wanted to steal the artwork from the room? Said he knew a bloke who might be interested in the artwork. Amazing! The shitter was biting electrical cables, wasn't he? And then he kept asking anyone for scissors.
Shitter, Brendan.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right, Brendan, okay. Yeah, is that what you call him?
Yeah, shitter.
Okay, good friend. Good friend.
Yeah,
okay.
Man.
I have nothing else for you.
Yeah.
But I have something for you.
I know what this is already. And I bet it involves fucking Brandy.
Who's she?
Alright.
Okay.
Maybe it doesn't then.
I know where he works. And I also know where you work.
Yeah.
Now, to get the golden ticket, what's your relationship like with your fellow employees? Now hold it there. 5 out of 10 will represent average. 7 out of 10 will represent, yeah, man, everything cool. 9 and above will represent exemplary.
What's this?
Sorry, I forgot.
Go on.
Number 2 represents piss poor.
Right. And what's this? Say this again.
Are you deaf? I have some scenarios for you.
Yeah, come on.
And I would like to know who said these statements.
All right, cool.
You think you know? So, there's one gentleman I won't name, but he goes by a famous pose. Who would that be?
Goes by a famous pose?
This is the pose. Who would that be?
What, George?
When Ellie started, she was working there for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
What did you continually call
table
her?
Table wiper.
Why?
Because she wiped tables.
She was vexed about that. And in her comments, she said, this man called me table wiper for 3 whole weeks because I didn't hear his instructions. Who is a flannel-wearing fake vegetarian?
What? A flannel wearing...
wearing fake vegetarian. I'm unsure whether you're called it or you call somebody it. But I think the giveaway in it is the wearing fake vegetarian.
It's probably Manal, isn't it?
Exactly right for 5 points.
Yeah, come on. But no, I don't call her flannel wearing, I just call her flannel.
That was her describing you.
That's her describing me?
Okay, mate, if this story develops, keep it to yourself.
I'm going
to
poke her eye out.
How's the risotto?
Mate, I'll punch Nicholas in the face.
Good 5 points. Who is the B-Tech Black Gordon Ramsay?
Me.
Said by who?
Probably him.
Who is Maisie?
Oh, fucking... She's H. That's H. You know H, the little Mancunian rapper. That's what she is. That's what
no,
she looks
like. I don't.
No, that's what she looks like anyway. You probably don't because you're not a 12-year-old girl.
Who said this?
Mm?
I hear you're going to Turkey soon. Hope that hairline's fixed when you come back.
I don't know, but my hairline's strong. I've got the strongest hairline in podding.
Freya.
Mate.
Keep it yourself.
Mate, all of you are having it. Like, they're all having it when I get back to work. Watch. They all want
now,
smoke.
Right, who said this?
All right, come.
Now, please, it just came through to the phone. Your mum's actually a MILF.
Jazz.
5 points again.
Yeah.
Green peas and rice.
Oh, Who, that's blasphemy, bruv. Who the fuck is saying stuff like that? Who's going to say things like that?
Reef is your clue.
Ah. Coral. Fossil. Yeah, fossil.
And that is the end of your test.
Yeah, nice.
Thank you very much. Yeah, those nice. Are your workmates who, by the way, they did want to say that they really do respect you.
Good.
There's nothing like you as a boss, especially on your day off.
Yeah, I know.
He's got a day off.
They're not like, I'd like to remind all of my colleagues, you're not colleagues, you're employees.
Cracking the whip again.
Mm. The tables have turned.
One thing I want us to quickly do before we start talking some food.
Mm.
When doing your stuff with Country Cartel, which I will say was very successful, there's a lot of things I've done with you, with Country Cartel, the K-Lounge, and a lot of videos. Mm. You guys worked a lot with Chris from Candy Farm.
Yeah.
Please, can you tell us where that sort of association came from? Because you guys work really well, and you guys have been working now for over 10 years, maybe?
I rang him before I met him, because I knew who he was. I was window fitting at the time. So I rang him on my break.
What significance does that have?
It has no significance. I was just, okay. Ran that time. And it was YMP, I think, before Country Girl. And I, that was the first meeting that I had with him.
Was Chris actually doing video work then?
Nah. He was like doing his direct shit then. Do you know what I mean? He was doing just doing
beats, and
beats and stuff.
Hip-hop rapping. With Gwenny, Mex, a.k.a. Yes. Dead TBSE.
Johnny Soundscape.
At the time, wasn't he? And yeah, I went over a deli as well. D-Bars.
Yeah.
So I went over there one day when he was living over Cologne and just recorded over there and just, yeah, made friends with him since then. But it wasn't until 2012. Because prior to that, there was a lot of sort of... that. I think Country Cartel was the main breeding ground for how expansive your creativity can go.
Mm.
We were doing all sorts of
stuff. You guys getting hungry?
Yeah.
Let's dig in. If you want to plate up some stuff, we're talking.
Yeah, man.
So that was like sort of the time when we kind of like started experimenting, creating and doing all sorts of fucking whatever. I mean, we had, it was me, well, it was predominantly me, Roscoe and Dane.
Mm.
But we had Chloe Wiley was in there at one point.
Yeah.
Toby Marsh was in there at one point. Young Saint, Lil Nas was in there at one point.
Yaz.
Kev.
And Yaz has carried on doing other stuff with you through the years, hasn't
she? Yeah, so I mean, like, over the years, we had, like, people come in and out. But
Hibbs was kind of...
Even Hibbs was kind of like an affiliate. But like,
who, Hibbs?
Yeah, mm-hmm. He was kind of an affiliate, wasn't he? Yeah. Well, they had the J-Road thing going on, but...
What's he up to then, Hibbs, nowadays? Making babies, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so. What are we about to tuck into?
This is...
That looks very nice.
Oh, I'll get into it. We'll get into it in a minute.
Do you want me to heat up the one in the Tupperware?
Yeah.
33 minutes.
Food looks good, kiddo. Food looks good.
But yeah, so Chris, like the first video we did was the one for the trailer for the retarded R&B one.
Oh, right. That's the one I voiced. Yeah.
But you're in the video. You were the guy with the torturer. Slapped Dane around the face, the electric thing.
Yeah, you were the bad guy.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, dog shite.
So that was...
dog shite.
I'm not sure if that was Chris's first video or not. But that was the first video we actually did with him.
Was it?
I think everyone was happy with it, though.
Yeah. Like, to me, it was like, it wasn't a music video. It was like, just a trailer.
Is that up there on YouTube somewhere?
I don't know if it is.
Was it?
Don't know if it is. I've got it, though. I've got it. I can put it, I can insert it now.
Yeah. Insert it.
Yeah, I will insert that right now. But yeah, that trailer, it was, that was the first thing. And then New Day was the actual first music video.
New Day, that was...
2012.
Was Lodos in that?
Yeah.
Lodos, you, Roscoe...
And Dane. Yeah.
And then Finney was featured in it, didn't she? What's her name?
Hannah Collins. Deli's in the video as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
Because Deli's shooting with the fucking gun, but he's got the wrong eye open.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah, I do.
So he's got his closed eye looking through the scope, and then the other room like... Yeah, that was Holcomb Quarry, that was.
Yeah.
See, Chris with that, like, that just goes to show, right?
Yeah.
That's the fucking guy's first video, right? And the fucking creative skills that he brought to that was fucking exemplary.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It was fucking exemplary.
It's like, how do I do that? How yeah. can I make that work? And then he did it. He didn't say no. He didn't go, I can't do
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah.
the mic's
Dane
up
and
there.
Delhi, yeah, they were the army guys that they were doing the shooting. And you ripped something off the wall somewhere, didn't you?
Yeah, that was Lodos
smashing up Lodos downstairs yeah. in yeah. the toilets. Yeah.
But yeah, it was...
Oh, fucking whatever.
With that, because what we did, we bought... It was actually my DSLR. I bought a DSLR.
Yeah.
I said to him, I said, I'll buy a DSLR. You do the fucking videos. And we kind of went from there. And yeah, that was the first music video. But prior to that, like, yeah, we linked with Chris as, like, through hip-hop.
A lot of your Candy Farm... Sorry, a lot of your Country Cartel videos were done by Candy Farm, correct?
Yeah.
So obviously, over the years, you guys kind of built up a very, very good rapport. So was it a situation of anytime you had a video, was it just a simple call of, Chris, this is my concept, let's go again? Was it that easy towards the end?
Pretty much.
Well, not towards the end, but to where we are present day.
The good thing with me and Chris is we've got a relationship where he knows my taste.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like I've... Do you mean I don't ever have to go back to Chris? I may have to go back to Chris and say, just change that because I want something different. But then it's never like, don't like the style. I don't know what you've done. It's
no,
like,
Chris is quality, yeah.
Do you mean he knows...
What we want.
Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and I think that's like... Whether that's knowing someone on a personal level before or whatever, like, I suppose there's anything in it. You build a relationship with someone, you build a team, it's like...
Mm. It's trust, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah. It's something that creative and that much that's gone into it. I think, you know, like, because I kind of, like, give him sort of, like, free reign because he knows what I want. Kind of like if I'm approaching someone for music. If I want someone to be on my song, I don't want to give them too many instructions because I want them for them.
Yeah, yeah.
If you go to them and say, I want you to do this and do this,
you're
and do
changing
this,
them.
Like,
you're changing them.
Well, I don't fucking do that. Like, if you want that, go fucking see Joe Block. Yeah. That's what they do, like, do you know what I mean?
Mm.
So with that, it's like the only one that I was meticulously detailed down, well, a couple, Oh Daddy was kind of, but even more than that was I Love You Baby.
Yeah.
That was fuck, well, you were there, you're in it. Like that was fucking scripted, fucking to the minute, like, do you know what I mean?
That was like Reflections as well, the one I did.
Yeah.
That was like.
That's actually, Reflections is actually my favourite video.
Which is Reflections?
Roscoe's
video. My one.
I do the hook on it. It's actually a Roscoe video, but like. Chris's effects in that.
Yeah, sick.
He does like the arm coming out the tree, like holding the glass with the ice.
Yeah,
and froze it and fucking.
Like his Roscoe's little sister's in it and she starts like levitating.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Some, like half body, half horse, like some like American horror short like shit going on, like, do you mean?
Was that your concept?
Well, no. So the concept and the idea was obviously mine, but then obviously you see with the effects, I was like, can you make like. A hand come out the tree, and like fucking when I say glass, I think I say I've got rum on ice, and I froze the glass with the ice out of the glass, and it turns into dice.
Oh right,
and
okay.
It follows the lyrics.
Yeah,
and I was like, do you reckon you could do that? He was like, oh, I don't know, I might be able to, and then he did do it, and then I was like, just go mad on the effects, so, and just did.
Over the years, went with in. Chris. Have you seen him improve?
Yeah. Massively. And, like, his confidence improve.
Yeah.
Like, massively.
Because that must be hard as well, because, you know, you're with a video and, you know, sometimes you're going to shoot people that you've never met before.
Yeah.
That must be really hard.
Well, I know with Chris, like, I don't really want to, like, talk about, like, his, like... His, but I know he's had, like, troubles in the past of, like, not wanting to branch out and go to places or whatever, do you know what I mean? But, like... Roscoe said to see his confidence grow, he's working with so many people now, like people like
anyone.
I see his Instagram, at Candy Farm on Instagram. And he's always busy, always working.
The
first lot of guys I used to know that he used to branch out with was a young man there, Hearts from Bristol.
Yeah, big up Hearts, man.
Yeah, big up Hearts. And I think from there it's just grown on that side of the world. Yeah. And
because that would have been after Respect Me. You were there for that, right?
Respect Me was
when we went to Bristol, Brislingham.
You Noodles no
Hearts, yeah, me Noodles and Hearts.
You Noodles and Hearts, yeah. When we put the camera on the bike.
That's it. Yeah. What do you call it? In that park.
Skate park.
So he's
I seen Chris the other day. I spent 4 hours with him up at the top there. And he's very creative.
Yeah.
But you get that with Chris, because even when you speak to him, he gets creative.
Yeah.
Just when you speak to him, and you just know that if that's the fundamentals of a video man, then that is great.
You can see the cogs turning.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. You say something to him, and you can hear them, you can see them, and then he's like, yeah, wow, Mark, Mark. And you know, he gets into one.
Yeah.
And when he gets into one, and when he says to you, oh, leave it with me. And
yeah,
then he comes back 2 days
you
later.
You know you're coming back to something magical.
He'll go, and he'll start laughing on the phone, first of all.
Yeah.
You know, he'll go, hey, Mark. And then he'll just start laughing. He goes, yeah, I done it. I'll send it across in a minute. And then when you see what he's done, it's like,
yeah.
Well, remember when he done Super Best Friends?
Yeah.
And like, 80 blew his brains out.
Yeah, yeah.
Super Best Friends.
Twisted Roots. And,
oh, yeah.
I wanted a ghost, and I did the heroin overdose and all that. And
I stabbed myself.
Is that with the girl? When the girl's coming off the bed?
Yeah.
We all die.
But like, yeah, and it's like the gunshot to the head, like, you mean? It's
yeah.
Like, when the blood, and I was like, oh, my God.
Well,
like,
see?
Fucking hell. But yeah, like then, like, you mean? And he all these times for him, he would have been learning. He's
yeah.
like, on the job learning for him. This is like the first of all these.
Yeah, it's like when you are in my garage and take off my mask
reality
and then it's
check.
Me underneath.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, then
that
them
reality check,
like,
wasn't it?
Oh, how are we going to do this?
Well, that...
I know. Sound wicked.
Reality
glad you
check.
Do.
Let's go back, because, like, or are we forward? We're around there now anyway, aren't we? Reality check. So that's like 2014. So reality check, let's just go back, because that's a landmark.
Yeah, that is.
So we were talking earlier about influencers, and I was saying Tupac or whatever. So then I would say around the early 2000s is when MTV Bass and like MTV, remember when MTV was a music channel?
Mm.
Like, and I actually fucking played music, not like all this weird
shit.
Look,
the shit that they do now.
But then they split off into like MTV Bass and all that.
There as well, and Jerk Beans.
And fucking MTV Bass, you had at the time, you had like Roots Maneuver, Black Twang on fucking MTV Bass. Like, fuck me, these guys are holding it down for fucking the UK.
For the UK, hard.
And it's like, yeah, sick. And like that was like, okay, you had like Rodney P, you had Task Force and all that around that sort of time as well. Like
Kalashnikov.
Do you mean? But
like, actually, Kalashnikov was like Channel U, wasn't
it?
Yeah,
it comes slightly after, but like still, like it was like, oh shit. Like,
yeah, sick.
Yeah, like
proper.
But then I think that was my first taste into like, no, let's.
We drop the accent.
Drop the accent.
Drop the accent. Let's the use accent, our own,
do
man.
You mean? Like, and then, yeah. So yeah, to do that track with Black Twang.
Yeah, that was.
That's like.
I still forget about it. And then when I go back, and then like people are like, oh, like, who's Black Twang? And then you play him Rotten. And they go,
God.
What? What, this tune? What, this dude?
Yeah.
And then they see the video. It's like, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Black Twang, man, like fucking legend.
Yeah, big up Black
big
Twang,
up,
man.
Legend in UK hip hop.
What do you reckon is the best track you guys have done? Now, when I say track, I'm not involving the video. I'm just on about the audio.
What, me and Jimson?
You and Jimson.
Together.
What?
Oh.
And it may be different. So you give me yours and tell me for what reason, and you give me yours and tell me for what reason. But I'm only looking at the audio at the moment. I will most probably ask you a video one after. Hey, cogs are turning. Cogs are turning. Don't worry, we're here from Rachel in a minute. Hey.
Trying to think, man.
Probably,
While you're thinking, do you want to hear a story?
Yeah, go on.
The other week I went to Jimson's house. I turned up. Shani opened the door. All right, Marky. Sam's on his way back. Love it when she calls him Sam, because like, no one fucking calls him Sam.
Yeah, funny.
She goes, oh, we'll be here in a minute. So she offered me a seat. Never shows me the front room. Always puts me in the corner in the kitchen. Bastards.
She didn't get in the front room.
No, next thing. I'm there for about 2 minutes. Shani doesn't offer me a coffee. So I say, oh, Shani, any chance for a coffee? She goes, oh, yeah, Marky, yeah. Next thing you know, this humongous sound goes on in the corner. What's that? What coffee machine have you got in your house?
Oh, no, just a normal coffee.
It made the most horrendous
screech.
Noise. But then that was when the problem started.
Okay.
Shani started to gas.
Forgot
she's totally.
She's talking.
Yeah, forgot totally about the coffee.
Oh, dear.
10 minutes later, he walks in. Hello, mate, how's it going? You want a coffee? And I'm there going... Shani, lovely girl, lovely girl. The hospitality shit. Go for it then. Best audio. Sorry, Shan.
Best audio. I don't know, man.
Dark Mist was good.
Mate, I was so like, Dark Mist was sick. And I like, mate, we've probably got new tunes that are fucking, like, probably the best shit we've done. Like, cause that's, I forgot we've got, like, half an album done.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Ah.
I forgot about it.
What's your one?
That other one, you know, the freestyle one, where it was, like, me, you, Dane, who else is on it? There's quite a few of us on it, over a dead TBS beat.
Midnight.
Yeah, that was fucking sick.
That is a sick tune.
That is a Midnight. Sick tune.
Yeah.
And even Grey Sunday.
Grey Sunday was
that
good.
Was good.
Yeah, Midnight, that was on Dane's Caress My Hand Sweetheart album.
Was it?
Mm.
Yeah, that was hard. Super Best Friends was good.
Hard. Fucking, yeah, I some of the new stuff.
Yeah.
That is.
But that's hard because no one's heard it.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm just thinking of what people have heard that you enjoy doing.
All the old tunes, because I can't do them now.
Yeah, you'd be fucking cancelled in a shot.
Cancel!
And what's the best video you feel Candy Farm has done for you?
Reflections or Dark Mist?
Reflections, Dark Mist.
I'd say Dark Mist and then Reflections for me.
I Love You, Baby.
But then, yeah, you've got all them
oh,
ones.
Oh, Daddy.
The one where you climb out of the fucking floor.
The Shrink's Wet Dream.
Yeah, that's fucking sick.
And that one was so simple and so effective.
Yeah.
The stuff with the Candy Farm, the darker stuff.
Yeah.
Because I know Chris has got, like, he's into his horror shit.
Yeah.
He loves it. He loves, when someone comes to him and says, I want to make something which is a bit fucking horror.
Or action-y, he just loves it, innit?
Yeah, that's his thing. So, like, you go to him with ideas, like Dark Mist, that's fucking...
Yeah, Dark Mist is sick.
That video's like, do you mean?
I watched that the other day, actually. Someone said, you play a murderer too well. And I was like, oh.
Something that was said.
So
to me,
do you.
Something that was said to me earlier in the week. What's his name again? Taylor, Jack, Newport, Bowen.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He said, "Handbag girl."
I was talking about that the other day as well.
Thanks for that, Taylor. By the way, Taylor's now a barman. The most scruffiest barman I've ever seen.
Of course.
But yeah, he was talking about that. Yeah,
I think don't know
time,
why. Don't know why.
At the time, I do remember the time. At the time, there was a lot of vibe around that because Pasta we used a nightclub, didn't we?
The peanut. We used the Fiat the egg in it.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't the egg.
We used the
egg and somewhere else, didn't we? It was over 2 days.
Wasn't it Malloy's? Was it Malloy's?
Nah, that was for the little thing outside.
That was
that
the
little
thing,
bar
that,
festival
thing.
Do you want some more?
Oh, that was that. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, my mistake. But Handbag Girl, I think there was a lot of people involved because obviously
yeah,
you had to
there
get
was
dancers in
yeah
and stuff.
Yeah, there was.
And I think after it was done, for weeks people kept saying, "So when's Handbag Girl coming out?"
I've never got it back. I've never seen that video.
I don't even want to talk.
It?
I don't want to talk about that.
Who shot it then?
Omar.
Who?
Omar. I've never seen that video.
Politics, bruv.
Said the car driver was corrupted and he lost it. Last I heard.
Okay, yeah. Let's move on.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's move on.
But that...
That video would
that
have been sick.
It's like fucking cringe factor.
It was, yeah, but it was the time.
The timing and like... That was my first experiment with auto-tune.
Yeah.
Oh, like, right,
oh,
yeah, okay.
Shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I can make people sing. Like, do you mean this is like...
Melodyne.
This would have been before... Melodyne. Fucking, was it?
It was. It was around T-Pain
around
times. It was T-Pain times because
yeah
Lodos did the remix to
yes
Unsprung, innit?
Yeah,
and
yeah
it was at that time.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
It was exactly that. This is what I'm saying. We were there. We were there on
so
the
that
curve.
That for me was tools in the arsenal.
Yeah.
Of learning.
Yeah, of course.
Yes, like I said, why I say create a Country Cartel was the most creatively expansive. Because it was like so fucking like, what are we gonna do now? Like, I mean, like, let's just make this.
We can do whatever
we
want.
There was no, where YMP, where I was mentally, was I want to make music like those guys there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There was no limitations at all.
It was like, what should we make?
Yeah,
what are we gonna do?
We can
do
anything.
We can do what we want.
Yeah, yeah.
Just excitement.
Yeah, yeah.
Because to be honest, you guys at the K Lounge was the place that these guys had. For Country Cartel, it was their base. In
that was the place, bruv.
That period.
And
of time,
to be honest,
that was the best.
To know
I've got videos, you know, from
well,
then.
just to know that you can go into one place and there's everything that you want to do music must have been, you know, I wasn't a music man like you lot. I followed you and I passed through, but if
mate,
I
we
was
had a whiteboard and everything.
Yeah, that was it. You had organisation there as well. Right. It was like you took it to another level. You know, everybody's on the street level with their hip-hop and they're spitting. But then you lot took it to where I was seeing it, into another level, where you found an area to work. You had a system, you had a plan, you had a whiteboard. You were trying to be organised. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And for me...
Most of the time they had weird pictures.
For me, to look at some of you guys as younger lads saying, well, okay, they're getting their shit tight. Mm. That's good to see. Because a lot of me growing up, I saw a lot of people who had the dream and that was all. Mm. Never wanted to be, you know, get on it and get professional. And you lot were getting semi-professional with it.
Mm-mm.
Don't know what happened at the end. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I do want to talk about the third member, though.
Dane.
Yeah, man. No, man, because I rated Dane.
Dane's hard.
I rated
one of the
Dane,
hardest
man.
Lyricists,
I rated,
man.
Mate, I'm telling you.
One of the hardest.
It's the track he done with the melon.
Yeah.
Remember mate, that? It was most
porn.
Of the
Dragon
tracks
porn.
That
or was
he did.
It the wifey one?
And which was the one when he's
yeah,
in...
Yeah, the wifey one was the melon one.
In Somerset Place, when he's in the robe with the girl and that.
Oh, that's Mary Adriana.
Adriana.
Yeah. That's another one of my favourite CW videos.
Yeah, that,
see,
that
video was a favourite.
That was actually the
first
video.
Yeah.
That came
that
before
was,
New Day.
Yeah, it did.
Where?
And it was hard.
That was hard.
Mate, that video is one of my favourites,
like,
actually.
We were like, how do we put tits in a video and make it arty?
Yeah.
How do we get away with putting tits in
you
a
put,
video?
You put
we
smiley did it. Face over the nipples, wasn't it?
Nah.
Over the face. No, she had
that was in the
mask
picture.
On.
That
the
was
picture.
It. She had the gas mask.
Yeah,
on.
But didn't you put the smileys over her
nipples
as well?
Nah, it's still there. Man. Still Flat there. Titties there.
Yeah, they were out, was it?
Yeah, yeah.
All in the name of art.
Yeah.
All in the name of art, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It was artists.
That's not what Epstein would have said, but yeah.
Yeah,
but yeah, that video.
That was a hard video, bro.
Because he managed to get the room that the fucking had just been done. It was a showroom.
It was a showroom.
Yeah. Fucking yeah. Massive, like, mansions, innit? It's like, yeah.
Because I remember allegedly getting Dane very, very, very intoxicated for that video in the park. I was like, no, do more, do more. Do more. You need to do more. You need to do more. And he was just like, I can. I was like, you need to be in the right frame of mind for the video because it was about weed.
What did you push down in weed?
I don't know. Allegedly, he was smoking weed. Quite a lot.
Allegedly, yeah, from your hand.
You have to method act in these situations and get the best out of the artiste. You know what I mean?
Away from music. Away from music. I know you've got a family.
Mm-hmm.
You got anybody right now?
What?
Girlfriend? Partner?
I've got a nice one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's take it back. Way before the missus. Way before your partner.
Mm.
First girlfriend.
Yeah.
There's three categories.
Right, okay.
Minging.
Yeah.
Something to practice on.
Yeah.
Something to be shared.
What? What do you mean, bruv? What do you mean?
He knows
are you
what
on
I
about
mean.
Shag, marry, avoid, but to what you just said?
I don't think of me fucking. Well, I probably.
I know my first girlfriend was like proper. Yeah, like I know my first proper girlfriend was. So.
Didn't really have to call names.
Yeah, I'm not.
Didn't really
say
have
name,
to call names. It was just the department you were putting it in. But no, you can forget that one now.
Bleep it out.
Yeah, bleep it out. Yeah, bleep it out.
Okay.
What minutes are we on?
Don't worry, you'll find it. You ain't gonna lose this.
Manga lip read anyway.
So, out of the three departments, your first one was what?
Go for the first department. Go through
what,
the departments
what
again.
What do I get?
It was minging to practice on or to be shared.
But you could, any of them is savage.
I'm not the one answering, so I don't really care.
Practiced on?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, good.
That's the only thing you can say, really.
Fingers, toes.
You can't say any of the others because you can't say a girl's
experience.
Minging. You know what I mean? To practice
all
on.
All right,
is...
then throw in your fourth. Throw in your fourth. I've used three. Give
no,
me a
no.
Fourth.
To practice on, I would say, is pretty much to learn from.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, and I think if you learn from every relationship you go into,
you'll grow as a person.
Yeah, yeah. See how we saved that?
Fucking nigger!
Fuck you know.
All right, fair play.
That's jokes. Fair play.
Two kids, yeah? Mm-hmm. Two kids. Another thing I noticed when I came to your house, obviously, schools are open, but your son was there running around.
Yeah, yeah.
He was supposed to be ill, Sam.
Yeah.
What sort of parental guidance is that, mate?
Free spirit.
Shani Gaffey.
Oh, I didn't even realise he hadn't gone to school.
Didn't even realise. What's he still doing upstairs? Now.
Why didn't you go to school, mate?
Forgot.
Now, the last thing I want to touch on is our Rach. Who is Rach, Sam?
Big up Rach, mate. Big up Rach.
Big up
day.
Rach. All right, Rach. That's what she done to me. But what she's done, she's given me a little account of what you were like as a youngster.
Prick.
She didn't go that far, but you'll know where she was going. So, via Chantel. Hi. Here are some actions I could think of. There are probably loads, but I can't think of any at the moment. I should have asked Denny. I bet she has some. Who's Denny?
My auntie.
Your auntie?
Yeah, man.
Here we go. Number one. When Sam was 2 or 3, after swimming at the sports centre, he was running around naked and bending down to look into the lockers, probably looking for coins left behind. When suddenly he did the biggest bottom banger you had ever heard. As I looked down at the cute little boy, he said oops, as he had actually exploded poo all over the floor.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on.
Big up to my past self.
Big up, Rach.
Yeah, art. See, art from young.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that was number one. Number two.
Hey. How many are there? That's quite a lot.
Five.
Come
on. But Mum loves you. When Sam was 5, we took him to see Santa Claus on the train at Avon Valley Railway. While we were waiting in our carriages to be called to see Santa, we were doing some colouring and we were given mince pies. Sam didn't like mince pies. He left his on the table. When Santa actually came walking through the carriages and stopped to speak to Sam, believe it or not, Sam was quite shy. And he was also a little bit scared of Santa. So he thought instead of talking with Santa, he would ram the mince pie down Santa's mouth until he nearly choked and then spat it out on the table. Not sure what Santa thought, but we all thought it was very funny.
Creative.
Yeah.
Number three. When Sam was around 5, a lot of things went wrong around 5.
That's where it went downhill.
He used to stay with his Auntie Mandy.
Oh, yeah.
Who's that, Auntie Mand?
Yeah.
All right, Mand. When I went to work. When I went to pick him up, he was so excited that he had learnt to ride his bike without stabilisers. He jumped onto his bike and made sure I was watching to show off his new skills. And he did that classic look at me and rode straight into a hedge and fell off and started crying. We all felt sorry for Sam, but it was still funny. When Sam was 14, he was supposed to be staying at a friend's house in Bath. I got a telephone call from him round about 10 o'clock saying he didn't feel very well and could I come and get him? Unfortunately, Rach was on the piss, so she couldn't come down and get you. But she was really worried and wanted you home. So she ordered you a taxi. 30 minutes later, Sam arrived home and comes to the door with his fleece rolled up in his arms and said, here's a present for you. As I unwrapped the fleece, sick fell out of the fleece and onto the floor. He wasn't ill. He had been drinking alcohol.
Yeah, yeah.
Good old Rach.
Here's a present for you.
Number four.
Oh, shit.
Number four. When Sam was 8, he was playing a rugby match at Devizes. He got tackled or hit by the opposition and he saw red. He got up and chased the opponent all around the pitch while the game was still in play until he could hit him back.
It was like a comedy sketch. They were running one way and the game was going on in another direction. He got sent off in the end. Again, it was funny to watch. He has always been a determined person.
I remember that. It was. It was like the ref was chasing me with a whistle blowing at me. I'm going, fuck off! Kid, trying to smack him.
Did you get him?
Yeah. I'm just kidding. He's running away. All I'm trying to do is hit this kid. This ref chased me. Stop. And I'm like, fuck off! Yeah, there was no way I was staying on that pitch, mate.
Last but not least, when Sam was four, we go back again. When Sam was four, we lived in a first floor flat.
Oh, poor dog.
What was the dog's name?
Muppet.
We decided to get a puppy.
Fuck.
Muppet the puppy was so cute and Sam adored her. But one day, I popped to the toilet and on my return, Sam was leaning over the balcony. Panic set in that I was a bad mother and he could have fallen over. However, it wasn't Sam I should have been worried about. He had thrown Muppet the puppy over the balcony. I asked him why he did this, and his response was to see if Muppet could fly. He has always needed to find out things for himself. By the way, Muppet was okay.
She was. Do you know what, right?
Thanks, Rach.
Oh, shit. I feel bad. I thought it died. Nah, I was still laughing like
Muppet,
that.
So Muppet lived to the age of 19.
Was it a girl?
Yeah.
Oh, it was a first floor flat.
First floor flat. But Muppet lived until I was 19.
Bless.
And when she died, that fucking broke my heart.
Yeah, I bet it did.
From then, you know what I mean? She got ran over.
19.
Got ran over at White Way.
Mad.
Muppet. Mate, she fucking lived through the wars.
Bless her.
What type of dog?
Cockapoo.
Cross.
Yeah. Little black, fucking shaggy, scruffy thing.
Rest in peace, Muppet.
Rest in peace, Muppet. Yeah.
Yeah, man. You got any for him?
No, I haven't. Because my source let me down.
Mate, my mum would have given you fucking loads.
I know, I should have done it myself, but I trusted somebody to do it. Good old Candy Farm. And he let me down. But there is something else I want to speak to Roscoe about. Because sometimes I go over to Roscoe's. Sometimes me and Roscoe talk music. But I don't really tell Roscoe the truth. I go there for food.
Yeah, I know.
Because you're a very, very good cook. So one thing I really wanted to ask you is, where did this cooking side of you come from? Who influenced you? Who taught you?
Mm.
And, dude, why are you so good at it?
I don't know. I like being creative. So, like, it comes from there, but like originally it come from my dad.
Yeah.
And the smells that he used to be able to create in the kitchen.
Caribbean dude, man.
That's what I mean.
You know how it goes.
And it was like from early, it'd be like, I'd go in the kitchen and be like, oh, there's nothing to eat. And he'd be like, what do you mean? I'd be like, there's nothing to eat. There's nothing in the cupboards. There's nothing in the fridge. He'd be like, there's a tomato there. There's a tin of tuna there.
Yeah, mix
there's
something.
A this. Boom. And then he used to come up with these mad meals and I'd be like, what the fuck? Little did I know, my dad was on bank, but we lived like we were poor. So he was still like, I was eating like corned beef and all these type things from young. Obviously, I don't eat none of that sort of stuff anymore. But then I never spent time with him in the kitchen. It was the smells. Right. So like he never taught me nothing. Like,
so mum taught you?
No, she can't cook for shit.
Sorry, she can't cook, man.
She's dead at cooking, bruv. Like,
sorry, man.
If she was ever cooking, I was upset. I wasn't on
get
it.
Get some more of that pasta.
Yeah. Wow. So, my dad
does
the
all
cook.
The cooking.
Yeah, my dad's the cook. Like, my mum cooks, but she cooks at basic level, like, do you know what I mean?
Entry level.
Yeah, but my dad cooks.
Beat it.
Then my granddad, I always grew up thinking it was all my
granddad. Dad's dad, or mum's dad.
The black side.
Yeah, all right.
I always thought it was my grand that did the cooking, but it wasn't. It was my granddad.
Mm-hmm.
So my granddad's food was next level as well.
Is he still about?
Nah, he's passed, unfortunately. But he was like an inspiration. He was just an inspirational man anyway. Like, his whole story is pretty interesting, man. Like, how he came over here and stuff.
It all is, mate.
It is mad interesting.
How did he come over? Through the forces?
Nah, he was a mechanic, so he was like one of he was like one of the only mechanics in the country that could work on red buses.
Right, okay, yeah.
So he was pretty like, do you know what I mean? Special, so to speak.
Where did he live? In the West Country, down here?
I think they originally were in London, then they moved up here.
Yeah.
I think, I'm pretty sure. I'm not 100% sure. But then, who kind of taught me how to cook and put flavours together was a dude called Richard Husband. Remember Rich? Yeah, man. So I used to work with him at Asda.
Mm.
And when I lived
really
in Bristol.
Sweet missus, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Rachel. And
not another one.
Yeah.
They all got stories, aren't they?
Yeah. So yeah, we worked in Asda together. He was like a butcher or whatever on the butchery department. And then like I ended up leaving Asda because he went and worked for this wholesaler and he was like, come work with us. I was like, fuck it, all right. It's better money or whatever. But he was like a really fucking good chef. Mm. Like really good chef. Two dudes jumped on his back in the kitchen. He collapsed and had shattered both of his kneecaps and he could never work in that trade again.
Because he's standing? Or...
Yeah, yeah. So he couldn't stand
anymore.
You mean
jumped on what? Pissing
about? Yeah, just jumped on his back, like taking a piss. He collapsed, landed on his kneecaps, shattered both his kneecaps. Couldn't stand doing those long hours ever again. So he had all of this experience. He lived to be a chef. Mm. Do you know what I mean? He started teaching me things. And like I just started getting a passion for... He taught me how to use a knife properly and... Like, he taught me how to put flavours together.
So where were you coming from? Were you coming from literally not knowing anything?
No, I
cooked. Or coming from a little bit of the basics that you got from Dad?
Yeah, I cook. I just... Everything, most things that I make, I just kind of guess.
Yeah.
Yeah? So, like, as an example, this pasta that I made... So I never used banana blossom until about a week ago and used it for the first time. It's just sat in my drawer for months and months and months. And I was like, right, I'm going to fucking try and use it. Mm. So I was like, I want to make it taste like tuna. So I used nori, which is seaweed, like the stuff that you wrap sushi in.
Right, yeah.
So that tastes like the sea. I had some vegan fish sauce, spring onion, red onion. I used a little bit of green chilies that were in vinegar and used the vinegar from the chilies. To make it a bit more like tangy, cooked it down with miso and stock, and then pretty much made a pasta sauce from scratch, and then made the bake.
Was it the cooking that you were doing that turned you off meat, or
no.
Did you just want to give up meat anyway?
I gave up pork because when I was working at that place with that dude.
And why I ask you that question is because a lot of people that I know that have given up meat, it's because they've turned to start cooking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they've kind of cooked the meat and then thought, nah, I can go without it.
Yeah.
And then they've gone without it for a few days and then they've made it into a routine.
Now, the meat thing was when I was working at that wholesaler with that dude, he was a massive meat eater. Every day I was having fried breakfast. Not fried, but like, do you know what I mean? The fucking curbside dudes are on the grills and that. So
yeah, yeah.
Bacon, egg, sausage, black pudding, them things.
Cholesterol.
Every day.
Cholesterol.
Bro. And I was like, I can remember it went on for a bit. And then I was looking at my boss who was also doing it. And he was smoking 80 fags a day, Super Kings, yeah? And eating these things. And he's already had two heart attacks. And I'm looking at him. And I'm thinking, nah, like, I need to stop eating pork. Because if I stop eating pork, there's no cooked breakfast for me.
Mm.
I just have to have fruit or something.
Yeah.
So I stopped eating pork. And that was when my cousin come out of, well, he went on holiday for quite a long time.
And what, then with came steel out, doors?
Yeah.
Oh, right, cool.
He came out back from holiday and was Muslim. And he started preaching to me. Yeah. He started preaching to me about pork and that. And then it was at the same time as well. It all kind of was at the same time as me and Dane did a workshop at the Theatre Royal and the Egg with Akala.
Mm.
And I remember we were like...
The Akala.
The Akala, yeah. So we were like all talking and he was like, oh yeah, we'll go for a break now. I'm like, cool. He's like, where are you, man, going for food? And we were like, McDonald's. And he went, I was like, you coming? And he was like, nah, you're all right. And he started laughing.
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
He started telling us about
Wagwan.
things. So it was like, it all kind of coincided with that. And then I was like, do you know what? I'm going to just try and be veggie for a bit and just stop eating. Like, but it started with like beef, because I never really ate beef that much anyway. So I stopped beef, stopped pork like ages ago. That was the first thing to go. Then beef, then lamb, and then fish. No, then chicken, and then fish. And then I just went on and off for 2 years. Then, allegedly, I had an experience where I thought I was dead. And I thought everyone I knew was dead, and it was the end, and I was just consciousness with the creators. And when I eventually came back from this alleged experience, the first thing I seen, it was springtime. I was with Costa, actually. It was springtime. There was like little lambs galloping through the meadow as the sun was setting. There was calves, baby ducklings following their mum on fucking streams. I started crying and was like, I can never eat a sentient being again. And that's it.
Fair play.
So that's it. But obviously, you have to make food taste better when you don't.
I think,
you know what I mean?
I think there's a lot of people out there that would like to give up meat and like to eat healthier. But I think what's stopping a lot of people is their knowledge behind it.
Yeah. So
one thing I'm going to ask you here now is, what was one of the first meals that you cooked for yourself that was vegetarian, that was simple to make?
Steam veg, rice and peas.
Beans on toast.
Yeah, we just, you know, and do them team, yeah.
But steam veg, carrots.
Yeah, mate, steam. So literally, whatever vegetables you like, throw it in a pan, tiny little bit of water in the bottom of the pan, let it steam, throw the vegetables in, whatever you want. Herbs, spices, I usually use jerk and that. Use a little bit of jerk seasoning, some balsamic vinegar, olive oil if you want to use oil.
Nothing to replace the meat, it's just dealing with the veg.
Just the vegetables, like, and just kind of like, almost not stir fry, but you just steam it, and then some rice.
Black pepper, a little bit of salt, jerk seasoning.
It's easy.
It's a change of mindset, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like people think that you need a portion of meat or protein on your plate, but you don't. It's like, the whole myth about protein deficiency, do you know that they haven't got any records, because there's never been anyone to study protein deficiency on, because it's really fucking hard to become protein deficient.
That's mad.
Yeah.
Because they're like, that's mad, bruv.
It's look, me personally, I eat meat. But you know, sometimes I come to yours, I eat some meals there, and it's like, wow, dude, I would love to. But it's what happens when you're hungry in town and you're passing McDonald's and you're passing Burger King.
You carry on walking.
No, but the thing is, this is what I mean. If these vegan shops and vegetarian shops were in your face, like what your McDonald's and your Burger King's.
Well, they're all doing it.
It's starting to now.
Yeah, they're doing it now, aren't they? Like,
you've got like Leon, that's probably like the biggest fast food chain, isn't it? Which you're like, it's fresh food, but it's fast food. But I was down in Brighton at the weekend, and the fast food places down there, vegan, vegetarian fast food places in Brighton, it was fucking, we had this vegan kebab on Friday night, and fucking, that was banging. A mushroom truffle burger, fucking, with
banging.
Like, it was rude, actually. I mean, there's more and more of these places popping up.
And even the places, like you say, McDonald's and these places are starting to do it. Fucking touch them things.
Do you think there's a lot of room and a lot of scope for people to make their own ingredients and their own meals in vegan?
There is, but it's like, so as an because that was not that bad, but the pasta thing, it's like, you can, with me, even when I was eating meat, I've always loved the process.
Yeah.
And I've always put love into food. So it's like, I was up at 5 this morning, making that tuna to go into just a tuna pasta bake. Like, most people just open a can,
yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like,
tuna, yeah?
No, that's obviously
banana blossom.
Oh, right, okay.
Turn into tuna. So it's a flower that grows out the bottom of the banana tree.
Right.
So it comes out the bottom, it's like a big purple flower. And you peel off the things in it. It's weird, bruv. When you empty a can of it, inch into a bottle, it already looks like a fucking sea creature, bruv.
Wow.
Like it looks weird. Cause I
easily accessible.
Yeah, like yeah, Waitrose, Sainsbury's.
Yeah, it's in Sainsbury's now, I think.
All them places, you can get it all there. So, like, when you pour it out, it looks like that.
Wow. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Wow.
But, yeah, I've got the whole process on there. I'll send it to you. But, yeah, it's all about putting love into the cooking, man. But you can obviously go to the shop now, where it's so accessible with more and more people going vegan or vegetarian. Mm. You can go and buy all this stuff pre-made. So yeah, it's like, it is like going in and you can go in and buy mincemeat and make what you want. Do you know what I mean? So it's easier now than it was when I first did it, but I still rather do the long process of doing it all myself. Cause you know what's in it then as well.
Are you one of those cooks that like to cook for people or just really cook for yourself?
Yeah, no, I don't like cooking. I cook for myself and bruv, half of it gets wasted. It pisses me off.
So what's the most people you've ever cooked for?
Like, 20?
Serious?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's good.
But it's like, I find it easy because it's always like, when I did the 20, it was like sweet potato, roasted roots, jerk jackfruit burgers, coleslaw. Easy.
All right, okay.
Do you know what I mean? Simple things, man, that people can...
It's just a lot of people find it a lot harder because of the numbers. Not necessarily scaling the meals bigger, just frightening because it's the numbers.
Oh, no, I don't care about stuff
and then people
like
fear that, oh, I've got 20 people, maybe I've cooked and I've only cooked for 17, and then it's that fear. Because that's the fear that I would have.
I always cook too much, innit?
Well, that's one.
Do you know what I mean? And then you've got leftovers. But then you've got leftovers. That's my problem. I've always got fucking leftovers.
No, but leftovers is good because even like in my yard, if my girl's cooking...
Yeah.
Mate, I hate that thing.
What? Why? What's wrong with you?
Bubble and squeak.
What, but you like fish and chips? And not jerk
bubble
chicken?
Bubble squeaky. Because they offer me that, you know?
Who offered you that?
No, like...
If someone offered me that, I'd tell them, shut up.
No, I won't go rude. But I know, like, the English tradition.
What is it, bruv?
It's that, and then it's the leftover veg.
Dinner. So your leftover veg for roast dinner, you muck it, make
and
it
and
like
then
a
they put it all into
like
one.
Hash brown. Sounds quite nice, actually.
Yeah, but it's the name.
Yeah, I'm not happy about the name. Change it.
Squeak.
Change it. Rename it now.
The dish itself is nice. It's your leftover veg from your roast that you just make into...
And let me tell you what they have on top of it. A fried egg.
What are they up to, bruv?
I don't know, dude.
Whose creation's this?
No, I ain't naming names. I'm just saying, it's out there.
I'm going to blame I reckon it's Skippy, man.
People are out there. People eat it. People love bubble and squeak. They love it.
That's mad.
Me, I've tried it, and it's like, what's the biggie?
Just fucking trying to get rid of your leftovers.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is.
Yeah. Rant and rave about it.
Yeah, it's not gourmet.
Fucking hell. Can't wait to get when I've been bubbling and squeaking tonight. Fucking hell. Shine is up, bubbling and squeaking, ready? Fucking hell.
Bubbling and squeaking.
Yeah.
Mate, oh, dude.
What a name, man.
Yeah, it's average at best.
But it's all right, like you said. It provides another meal the day after and it saves people going into their pocket, I suppose.
Well, because I asked my stepdad the other day, I said, fucking, like... what was meat consumption like then? And he said, like, what they used to do.
Well, back in the day. Right, okay,
yeah. So he said, what they used to do, so they used to go, you know, buy your joint of beef on a fucking Sunday.
Mm.
On the Monday, you would have cold cuts of fucking sliced beef.
Yeah, yeah.
And then on the Tuesday, you'd use the same joint and you'd fucking
make
mince
a curry
that up
or something.
And make, like, a fucking mincemeat, like cottage pie or fucking something.
Yeah.
All from the same joint.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? It's like, you'd have that 3 days. That
3 days worth.
Yeah.
There's no, like, fridge and fucking freezer to fucking keep it for God knows how long, do you know what I mean? But, yeah.
It's mad, like, rice as well. So, like, I remember growing up and my dad would make a massive batch of rice and then freeze it or put it in the fridge And I can remember one day I was at someone's house. And it was like a thing like this, and I put it in the microwave or whatever. He's like, you can't reheat rice. I'm like, what do you mean you can't reheat rice? If you can't reheat rice, you get salmonella, you die.
Who said that?
An undisclosed white person. And I was like, it's fine, I've been doing it my whole life. I'm sure it'll be all right. And then my dad turned around,
Chinese,
right?
In the morning.
And yeah. He said that back in Barb's, they used to do the same thing, like on a massive fucking massive pot over fire. They didn't have a fridge.
They didn't have no fridge.
Like, we used to eat from it for like 5 days.
Yeah. 5 days, yeah.
He was like, we were all fine.
Sometimes even the rice has gone hard.
Yeah, I know. They're still eating it. It's, mad.
It's one of these things, right? Scientifically, that person is correct.
Yeah.
It does develop a bacteria.
After a half an hour at room temperature.
Yeah, but come on, now.
But on a humanitarian ground.
I mean, let's think about it. Like, fucking, it's like, too much of this can do this. It's like, yeah. Anything was
just like anything.
It's, just, I mean, like, the amount of times I've reheated fucking.
And if you nuke it,
I mean, stir fry and fucking rice in the morning for the Chinese. That's already been reheated.
By them.
And I'm putting that in a microwave.
Yeah. Dude, like, I'll go for food the next day, and Holly would have thrown it. And I go, "Oh, where's the food? Oh, Mark, that's gone.
No, it hasn't.
No, it's fine,
nah, man."
I've woke up with pizza on my bed and it. Like, literally on my pillow and just...
Cold pizza's lovely,
Holly will throw anything out the day after. She'll just throw it out.
Wow, that's a waste of food,
yeah,
man.
Wait, do you know, food waste is one of the biggest issues that we have for, like, in this... Like,
so you better eat up, gentlemen. You better eat up.
Oh, my dad's been already calling that as well. The pasta, he's like, I want some.
Oh, you want some of it? Yeah, you got to take some time.
Yeah.
Fair play.
Yeah.
Okay, gentlemen, last but not least, plans for 2022. What plans do? First of all, plans as a team, as Country Cartel. First of all, on the music side. What's the plans there?
So 2022 is 15 years since Tag Team Partners Volume 1 was released.
Yeah.
Tag Team Partners Volume 1, mine and Roscoe's first ever joint mixtape. Yeah.
So to celebrate that milestone, what are we going to do?
Tag Team Partners Volume 2.
Volume 2 is coming.
Okay, cool.
That'd be September for the same.
Just an album. Any videos with any of the tracks?
Yeah. But like I want it to be a natural... I'd love to capture the same magic from then, but like how we are now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So like back then... You know, that's going to be hard. You know how you did like the hosting on things?
Yeah.
So we hosted Tag Team Partners Volume 1.
So you want to host it again as you lot now?
Yeah, so we hosted ourselves then. That was the first thing we did. And it was like... That was what was different about ours, like... The commentary, and it's like we're like fucking slagging each other off of that in between the tracks, just talking. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
is that the same way you would do part two?
Yeah, I'd like to.
Yeah,
like even if we did it podcast style,
yeah,
take the tracks and just fucking talk to live without between them, like on the show.
Yeah,
I think the slagging off, you wouldn't be able to do that.
Not,
now,
not so much, but like, you're like slagging off, it was just like it was like Joe
fucking out, Roscoe, fucking
can I get this?
Yeah, what's this? So with. With that, like, I actually thinking, you've got me fucking thinking on the spot here, and I just had a great brainwave. I've just thought, being the podcast, you do like a special album launch episode of it, and what we say in between the tracks, as we play the tracks here, is what goes in between
the tracks.
It gets fucking put out.
I like that.
Quite a good way to do it.
Yeah,
to
I like
get
that.
Get the most organic feel about it.
We just need to, do some more, make some more music.
Yeah.
Because we started doing it, like, I went round his, he's like, oh yeah, let's start doing it once a week. Went round his, did we do two tunes or one? I think we did like one and a half.
We did like an hour and a half. When we was up at, we did batch at yours.
Yeah.
We did a batch fucking up at Lansdowne.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just needs to be fucking
a few
consistent,
more.
Like every other week, fucking on a Tuesday at fucking 4 o'clock or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But as well as that, I've got a project that I'm doing with Bailey's Brown.
Yeah, that was what I was on to next. Individual projects.
So what's I, for you? With that, I fucking ripped all the tracks and then I didn't like them. And it's like, because I think his beats are so sick. And I'm like, oh, nah. And I really want to bring my A game to it.
Oh, right, okay.
And I was like, I wrote to all the tracks. And I was like,
and you didn't like it?
And I've wrote them all again. And I've wrote them, I sat down, I've got them all loaded up in Pro Tools now and I'm ready to record the first.
So what's putting pressure on you there, the beats? The beats are that good.
Yeah.
Mate, he's a just, fucking, he's wanna, a fucking
you just
want to
be able to compliment the beats with your best.
He's a producer and an artist that I very much respect. It's like, I want to...
Do the best.
You want to...
Do you know what I mean? And it's... So I rewrote them. So that's like, I wrote the first batch, so I got...
How many are you doing?
I got five loaded up and I got to pick five more up off of him. So the first five I'm ready to record.
So what are you doing? Oh, you're doing an album for him? With his beats?
An album produced by him?
Yeah.
And also a Australian producer called Pang to the Credit. Linked up with him for Instagram. And I did a track and then I sent that back. I said, if you got any more, we'll do like a little EP or something. And he sent them back. And what did he send me? I think he sent me about eight. I was like, yeah, got them. So I've got them. So it's like, it's fucking waiting to record them. I recorded the first one. So I've got the rest ready to record. And then also Mr. Bones. I'm doing an EP with Mr. Bones as well. He said, again, he sent me some beats. He's like, he was doing a collaborative album. And he said, can I do a couple of tracks for him? And he sent me nine beats. And I said, yeah, I'll take the lot.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, but it's like what I'm liking is because if I'm sat there on my own and I'm producing it or whatever, it can be quite demanding. With two kids and fucking everything else that's going on. Working with producers,
you just have to concentrate on your
get the bars, get the lyrics done, get it done, and then like
he deals with the rest.
Fucking, I'm probably even gonna get someone else to mix it as well, like just to fucking just to be more efficient. Because otherwise, you're doing all of it, you do that, and then you like the trouble is you get into like this flow. So you record stuff, and then you go off and you mix it, and you come out of the flow. It's like I find this really nice. If you're gonna mix stuff, you want to be in a frame of mind where you're just mixing all the time, or just give it to someone who does mixing.
Yeah,
and I do like mixing tracks, but when you're not doing it all the time, and so then you record something, you mix something, you're taking away, and it's like just write and fucking record, write and record, and get someone else to do that. If you know what I mean. But yeah,
fair play. Now I know you're on the beat making.
Yeah,
loads of stuff going on. I know.
I got little bits going on, but
no, you got loads. You just got loads of other things going on.
Yeah, that's what the problem is. But next year I am gonna work on a solo EP with a kid that I'm working with called his name's Merce 1999.
Okay.
And he's fucking good.
That was obviously when he was born?
I don't know. He's a young boy.
Okay.
And I ignored him for a long time.
Okay. Oh right. Okay.
I work with him, innit? He's another one of my colleagues / employees and I just ignored him. He's like, yeah, I make music. I was like, yeah, right, of course you do.
So you weren't gonna give him beats, he's gonna give you
He's got beats. Yeah, he's got good beats. Yeah, he's sick. So when he first sent me a beat, like, it was just sat in my inbox for ages, and I just kept on forgetting about it, and then when I listened to it, I was like, I phoned him, I was like, this isn't you. And he was like, yeah, it is, I've been telling you. And I'm like, I'm sorry, bruv. And then I've got a newfound respect for him, obviously. Not that I didn't before, I just liked winding him up. But yeah, he's really good. So I've got the concept for it already. I've got every tune. It's not written because I haven't got the beats yet, but the concept for each song has been done. And I'm going to try. It's going to be a stretch. I'm going to interview different girls.
Yeah.
To get background information on certain parts of the EP. But what I'm going to try and do is write like a love story from the moment you meet that person to the moment it ends as a man, but from the woman's perspective.
Like George the Poet, Chicken and the Egg.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, mate, that's fucking...
Just looking at the relationship from a different aspect, obviously.
Yeah.
From the woman's side of
it. From the woman's side of things.
Yeah.
George the Poet, he done a EP called Chicken and the Egg.
Okay.
And he does that, he does both sides. And like, fucking, you might or might not want to listen to it.
I'm not going to listen to it.
But I would highly suggest you listen to it because it's a fucking very good piece of art. Like, to me,
I'll listen to it after I've done it.
But like, he does it as like from both sides. And it's spoken word. And he's just fucking,
Yeah, sick.
Before we finish, there's one person I want to quickly glide on. The Canadian brother.
Dad bod.
Yeah,
man.
Because I know that you and him started getting together maybe about 2 years, 18 months ago, 2 years ago. And I seen he's uploaded on his Instagram, I think, the Christmas stuff from last year.
Still relevant.
Still relevant, obviously, time of the year. Just quickly, how did that come about, your association with him? Because he seems...
He actually seems a Canadian Jimson. How weird that sounds.
He's a really creative guy, man. He's fucking, and he does this thing. So he's like got Malik Maron is like one character, which is based on his like.
Yeah.
Himself. And then he's got Dad Bod, which is like
the musician,
the other guy, and then he's got the other ones. He's got like these characters, and he's like he's always arguing with each other in the video. Yeah. One's like the straight laced, and the other one's like doing. And he's still doing it, and he's fucking sticking out, and he's working really hard with that. But I met him in DKNBA, Damien Key's Music Business Academy, and so Damo, who runs the company, so he started BIM, which is like the biggest music college in the country, and he sold his parts.
What does BIM stand for?
Something music. Institute of Music. It's the university. All right. Do you know what I mean? Fucking but
for the basis of what we're saying.
Probably British Institute of Music.
Or some shit like that. But there was four people who founded that, and then now that is like fucking the biggest like music college. But he even says he didn't like it. He's very ground, likes to be in and involved with. But when something gets that big and you scale a company that size, because you don't know who these people are, you can't remember people's names. You fucking, it's huge. You've got like places all over the country.
Yeah, yeah.
So he started up this thing online. He started off as doing YouTube videos and that about the music industry, and then he set up his DKNBA thing, teaching people how to market your music basically. And me and Dad Bod, we were like one of the first people in that. He only set DKNBA up the private group of it like last April. It's grown. That's grown massively as well. That's now like,
how many people's in it?
There's 5,000 in it now.
What?
On the Facebook, there's 5,000. This is only from last April. When we were in there was like 500. Like, do you mean like in a year or so? Just over. He's got like fucking. What's he got? Has he got like a million subscribers or some shit on YouTube?
That's mad.
But yeah, I met Dad Bod through there. A lot of the musicians I've worked with this year, I've met through there. John Seaton.
Yeah.
Met through there.
How was that? How was that the other day? Because we haven't spoke about that.
Yeah, it was good. So
was that in Brighton?
Yeah, so John, he had this goal this year. So big up John. He went through with his goals. He had a goal this year. He approached me at the end of last year and said, I want to work with a different producer and different artist each month this year and put 12 tracks out throughout the year, one a month, different person, collab each month.
Fair play.
I was like, cool. So he was supposed to come down in January, but COVID hit, so he actually come down in April. Mm. We did Dopamine. But he did it, and his last track's out at the time of recording this week, but by the time this is out, it'll be out. It's called The Crown. But yeah, he did that, and he put his like final show on for the year.
He's what was it like? Break now.
It was good. Like he hired the band, because he hasn't got a band, so he's like, got professional band members to come in. And it's really interesting, because I thought they would have been rehearsing together for ages. He goes, nah. The first time they rehearsed together was the day before the show. Yeah. So he sent them all the tracks. They went home, learned it. They had a day of learning it together on stage the day before. And like, it was like they were a
fucking That's musicians, though, isn't it?
But that's they musicians. Did it full time. They
yeah, that's musicians, man.
Yeah, they're professional. Even though he said being a professional musician, shit. Like
Flash and, stuff. And I know that would be something like Flash.
Yeah.
Somebody just tells Flash what he needs, and all he needs is just a quick little half hour with it, and then bang, he can go on.
Done.
That is the art of musicians.
You know, so someone said to me, if you give someone a fucking track and they haven't got that in a week, like, you know what I mean? But yeah, the show was fucking wicked. Like, he was, it was really good. We just fucking nice little weekend away without fucking having to wake up and do normal shit. Nice, but who else did I work with from there? Dad Bod, John Seaton, Anthony Lee Phillips, the track that's just come out.
The guy with the one that was like a bit metally.
Oh, Golden Plates?
Yeah.
Golden Plates.
Which is the one you released about 2 days, 3 days ago.
Yeah, the one with Anthony Lee Phillips.
Yeah.
He's like, so that like fucking, I had a nightmare like trying to line it up in Pro Tools. And then someone commented on the YouTube video, it's like, 7/8 time. I was like, well, that's why it won't fucking line up. Because the drum beat is like so like, that dude, right, he's fucking next level like talented. So he like plays bowed strings, like cello, fucking violin. He plays piano, plays all fucking string instruments.
Mad.
And the music he makes himself, his voice sounds a little bit like Ben Howard, but it's like very smooth, jazzy, coffee shop fucking music. And he's very good at it. But he also composes like fucking full blown scores, like film music. Like some fucking Hans Zimmer shit. Highly fucking talented dude. And he just sent me the video of him playing the fucking guitar in the video on Instagram, just randomly. And then he was like, so I just went back. I was like, do you want me to rap on it? He was like, yeah, let's fucking do it.
And you've done the bars for it, already.
That was out.
How long did it take you to do those bars?
10 minutes.
Quick. I broke them half asleep.
Well, one thing I'm noticing with you is...
It's a fucking
you
machine.
You are turning... And I think it was since you were doing the early morning bars.
Yeah.
Yeah, you used
where
all
you
of
had
my
to be
beats, bro.
Innovative, on the ball.
In fact.
First thing in the morning. Mm-hmm. And when you conquered that, you can conquer anything.
Yeah.
Fair play to you.
I think it was like holding myself accountable for each day, just to put 30 minutes aside.
Did you find that telling people this is what you were going to do made you do it?
Yeah.
Did you feel that if you didn't tell people you were doing it, you may have sort of...
Skipped on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you...
Do you use your social medias for that? In a way of getting it out there, so therefore it puts pressure on you to complete what you say you're going
to
do?
Yeah. I also think it's good to... I write it down in a journal. I write in these like daily lurks. It's fucking like.
It's one of those.
I'm thinking about ending things. That's what it says in there somewhere, bro.
But it's like, do you know what I mean? It's like I write things and I'll say like fucking like what I'm gonna do.
Yeah.
Like what I'm grateful for. Like, do not compare yourself. Just things like to write it down kinetically so it sticks in your head.
Sticks
like,
in your head.
If like, do you mean? But there'll be things like. Trying to find a fucking example of like where I'm like saying I'm going to do this. Do you know what I mean? It's like if I write I'm going to do it, I wrote it in there. If I've then told someone I'm going to do it, hopefully it's someone who's going to hold me accountable.
Yeah.
Or it's like I've said I'm going to do it and I have to do it.
I have to do it and push you through to it. Yeah.
Because I know there's some people who say don't tell people what you're going
to
do.
But sometimes you need to tell them.
Yeah,
because they keep you on the edge of doing it. Yeah.
I mean, like I think there's the whole thing of some people think it's a bit risky. It's like, oh no, don't tell them what you're going to do because it's like nah. If you say it and you put it out there, it's like the whole thing of like manifesting it. That wherever people's beliefs are on manifesting your reality, I think you really can manifest your reality by putting it out there, writing it down, and fucking. Do you mean? The whole thing's like practicing it, living it in your head before you've done
it. It's like, obviously, I'm doing this Soulful House thing, and there's a lot of things that I put out on social media, and I actually do it for that reason alone, so that it keeps me on my toes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But then you'll get somebody who'll turn around to you and say something like, God, you're posting every day. And it's like, yeah, you don't understand. I'm just keeping myself on the ball.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And to be honest, if I wasn't doing that, I wouldn't be getting the satisfaction that I'm getting out of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the satisfaction out of it isn't money for me, it's just. At this late stage of my life, picking up a new hobby and going out.
I'm the teacher.
But you know what, though? It does, like, it takes balls for anyone to go and fucking do something. And it's like...
Well, and then show it off to so many people.
It takes balls to put yourself out into the world, whatever it is you're doing, whether it's DJing, whether it's rapping, whatever.
Because you're there to be shot at.
Whatever.
You're there to be shot at.
Do you mean it's... People will, whether they're resentful... Whether they're just fucking whatever, it's like it's usually when people give the bad comments, it's usually more fucking. It says about them more than it does.
I find the likes don't come when I put up something. The likes come when something went wrong.
Yeah, it's like what I said to you the other day about my trainers, bro.
Yeah. It's like the only time people will comment is if it's something to laugh at or something to
misfortune.
Misfortune.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
There's so many different things I put on Facebook, whether current affairs, music, football, whatever. Don't get no likes.
Mm-mm.
But as soon as something goes wrong.
What happened to your hard drive, Mark?
Yeah, what happened to the hard drive? Yeah, did you see the story? Yeah. And I had a load of inboxes of people. I told a story of me playing in the club the other night, and for 22 seconds, the hard drive come out of the USB port. And for 22 seconds, I'm like, shit, what do I do?
And I get the call.
Yeah, so all...
The music stops.
So I'm all like, I'm doing is like, you're now listening to the sounds of Mark, shouting it out, and just trying to be funny with the crowd. And it worked.
Yeah.
22 seconds, back in, bang. But when I told the story on Instagram... I'm just telling it because I want to be transparent. But you want to see how many inbox laughter emojis that I got.
Yeah.
You know, because people love to hear.
They love bloopers, man.
They love it, mate. They love it. And they're always these fuckers that are just in their house.
I said to him the other day, like when I bought the 720 Air Max bubble all the way around, all the way around the whole sole, it punctured. And I took a photo of it, wore them once, punctured bubble. I had more interaction with that than I ever have on
people
any
laughing.
Post. Yeah. There's about 100
also,
fucking laughing emojis.
I think it was Coca-Cola who did a study, right? And they did a study on how news travels.
Right.
And I can't remember the exact figures, but it was something like on average, people tell 7 people fucking good news if they've got some good news. If they've had bad news happen to them, on average,
17.
They tell fucking like 11, 12 or something. Yeah. I mean, they tell way more people that they've had bad, something bad happen. But like, we're guilty of
it
ourselves.
I used to do it, but I don't anymore.
But like, I do it to myself where I like beat myself up about fucking little things. It's hang on a minute. Like, look at what I am doing.
Mate, your post the other day.
What, about the wanking?
Bruv, I watched it and I was creasing up. Because then you were like, but I went to there. I did this. Yeah. I did that. I'm like, no, just Matt's beating himself up about wanking and a curry.
But that, like for me, I was like, fucking, I was like, why am I concentrating on these two things? But it's good, it was, I was like, right, not like, I wanted to not eat any takeout.
Yeah.
Like,
I had two
days to go.
Yeah, you set yourself a target.
2 days to go. And like, fucking, I was so tired, like, I had to be up at like fucking 1 a.m, my alarm was going off. And I was shattered. I mean, I got home and my self-esteem was just low. I was like, I just want comfort food and a wank. Like, you know what I mean? It's just like, but then afterwards, like, you're like, oh my God.
We're going to release semen.
But then, do you know what? It wasn't until after I did the post, I was like, oh my God, this is going to look fucking like, for the normal person, like, instead of currying away, like,
yeah.
It's like fucking, I was like, oh yeah, maybe like I should explain that I was fucking actually trying.
Because I
like,
understood it. Because I got a Burger King takeaway the other day on Uber as well.
When Burger King?
Yeah, it's down the road from me, like a plant-based burger or whatever. I could have just walked to Burger King and got a Burger King.
Got lazy.
But I got an Uber Eats of Burger King. And then ate it and then was disgusted in myself.
Disgusted,
bruv. Because I had food in the kitchen.
Yeah.
That was all, I just had to warm it up.
But those things, like, those little things linger in your own mind.
Yeah.
And it's like, but it's like, hang on a minute. I'm doing this. Like, do you mean I fucking, I'm learning Arabic now as well.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm learning Spanish and Arabic.
That's mad.
Arabic's hard, man, because the letter that you read that way and it's like a whole new lettering system. It's nuts. I'm still like alphabet levels like with that.
You're still learning to play the piano?
Piano's doing good.
Why don't you
really
teach him?
Because I learned
Roscoe Clayderman
by ear.
Huh?
I didn't learn to read music.
I learned
to play what I heard.
I want to be fucking...
Which is, I'm pissed off that I didn't. Because for the amount of time that I was playing the piano, and for how good I actually was at playing the piano, I should have learned theory instead of going... Oh, I'm just going to do concerts and competitions and just be sick at playing this tune that I'm learning at the moment. Do you know what I mean? Which is annoying, but never mind.
Gentlemen, I think that wraps up 2021.
Yeah, man.
Thanks for coming to your own show.
That's right.
Thanks for that. Nobody will be paying you for it, obviously.
Big up anyone who has tuned in.
And big up anyone that's come on.
Yeah, big up anyone who's come on.
Wow, might have been the curry and the wank there. Okay.
But yeah, big up all the guests.
All the guests.
Big up anyone who has tuned in.
We hope you had a lovely Christmas.
Next year we're going to go a bit harder, like with promotion. Like, even if we've got to pay someone, like, I'm fucking less invested in it, man.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Like to wish everyone a happy new year.
Yeah.
Happy new year.
Have a raise our glass to you.
Hopefully we don't get fucking locked down again.
Have a good year. Have a good year. Benji.
Don't forget to hit like and subscribe and smash that button, you fucking bellends.
Yeah.
Boom, bang, bang, bang.
Yeah, sick.
Peace out.
Big up Marky.